Welcome to Real World Rewind, a monthly podcast where we take a look back at some of our favorite movies from years gone by, reminding ourselves that entertainment is not mindless. I am one of your hosts, Blaine Grimes, and I am joined by my amazing, beautiful, thoughtful, humorous, and all-around lovely co-host who writes things into the show notes without me knowing, Shannon Grimes.
Hey!
On this month's episode of the show, we're going to be discussing the Pixar film Cars.
Cars was released in 2006. It was directed by John Lasseter and Joe Rantz, and was written by them along with a handful of others. It boasts the vocal talents of Owen Wilson, Paul Newman, Bonnie Hunt, Larry the Cable Guy, and Cheech Martin. Randy Newman composed the score. Cars tells the story of a young, arrogant race car driver, Lightning McQueen, who finds himself stranded in the small town of Radiator Springs, where he learns the true meaning of friendship and finding what is actually important in life.
So this is a movie that holds a special place in our hearts because of our love for Disney theme parks, the Disney parks. And we both recently got back from a trip to Disneyland in California, and we got to spend some quality time in Cars Land in Disneyland, California, actually in DCA.
In DCA, California Adventure, as the cool kids call it.
So Shannon, why don't you, to kick off on a bit more informal note, let's talk about what Cars Land is and about our experience there and how that feeds into our enjoyment of this movie.
So, if you don't know, Cars Land is pretty much just like a set from the movie Cars. It's Radiator Springs, essentially, and every intricate detail of it set up in a way that you can explore the town. You can go to, you know, the Fillmore's Gasoline, and you can get, like, organic fruits and snacks there and stuff, and you can go to the surplus shop, which is just a gift shop, or you can go to the tow yard that has this fun little, I don't know how to describe it, it's a ride where that you just like swing around on in these little cars, and you're sitting in tractors in Mater's tow yard, and then you can go to Flo's V8 Cafe, which has I don't know about the quality of the food there. I mean, it's fine, but it's an amazing experience just going in and seeing everything. And
50s-style diner.
Yeah, it's a 50s-style diner, and you can sit outside or inside. And in the back, you sit in this little area that overlooks the beauty of the rest of the set of Radiator Springs. And you're just sitting there looking at this amazing landscape of cliffs and mountains, just like exactly what it would be like in the movie and exactly what our 12-hour car ride from Albuquerque looked like along the way. And then there's Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters, which is another cute little ride through Luigi's Tire Shop. And then the best ride ever is Radiator Springs Racers, which is pretty much just, I think we decided that it's like Lightning and Sally racing through the valley when they're going for their quote-unquote drive. And you just get to explore all the sights of Radiator Springs and go really fast. And then it's really beautiful and there's a soundtrack. And it's just this really immersive, incredible land that if you ever go to Disneyland, you should definitely check out.
Yeah, and it's worth looking up pictures because in true Disney fashion, they really have created Radiator Springs, and it is gorgeous to look at in all of its manufactured beauty.
It's almost not manufactured.
It's a lot of fun. And then, of course, we were driving on, you know, Interstate 40 the entire trip, basically, and we saw a lot of the land that is the inspiration for Cars. So there were several times when we would point out the window and say, oh, look, we're driving through Radiator Springs right now. And we even detoured a little bit onto Historic Route 66, which is, again, very important to this movie. So we have a lot of memories associated with this.
We lived it.
I saw this movie for the first time when it came out in theaters in a drive-in theater, which, given the way this movie interacts with nostalgia and everything, was a really cool experience seeing it with a bunch of friends.
I didn't know that.
On
That's
a big
really
screen.
Cool.
Yeah.
And there's a drive-in movie. If you haven't seen the movie, there's a drive-in theater at the end of the movie in the credit rolls. So that's cute.
Yeah. Yep. Well, speaking of fond memories, Cars really is a movie that is built around a sense of nostalgia and love for all things Americana. John Lasseter, one of the film's directors, cites a road trip he took with his family as the inspiration for this film. And he even went on a trip with several Pixar animators and a Route 66 historian as part of the pre-production process. They went all throughout the Southwest and just met some of the people. They met a guy who was the inspiration for the character Mater. So a lot of things in this movie actually came from that trip that they took and Lasseter's personal vacation. At one point, Cars was even titled, it was a working title of Route 66, simply.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. So a lot of this movie is centered around Route 66 and looks at what happens when I-40 takes over. And I think the interesting thing about this movie to start off our discussion is that movies like this that deal with ideas and themes and motifs of nostalgia lend themselves to painting an overly idyllic or a spotless view of the past. It's kind of that old, well, back in my day, things were fantastic. And now everything's gone.
Kids never acted like that in my day.
So, yeah, normally a lot of these nostalgia-fueled narratives lend themselves to that sort of view of the past. And Cars, I think, actually has a more nuanced interaction with its subject matter. Shannon, can you maybe speak to that?
Well, one of the good things about this movie is that it does show you that there were some really great things in the past. Like, you know, Sally is talking to McQueen about how back then Route 66 was with the land, and instead of, you know, doing everything for efficiency, like, Cars drove to have a good time. And like, that's a good thing to remember, is that instead of cutting through life just to be most efficient and just get to the destination, that the journey is also important, that we should, you know, be watching where we're going and having fun while we're doing it. And that's a good thing about remembering nostalgia. But it also shows that that the future should not be thrown away, that the future is good, that it is good to progress, that it's good to refurbish things, and it's good to try new things that you've never done before that are in progress, like the racetrack. Like, there's nothing wrong with racing and going through the future. It's just that you have to do it the right way.
Yeah, and I think it kind of, superficially, it seems like it is sort of pushing toward that, oh, the past was idyllic and Edenic and all of these great things, when Sally's detailing the history of Radiator Springs to Lightning McQueen, because things look so great. But I think it pushes against that a little bit, right? It's not that Lightning McQueen shouldn't race, or that any of the progress isn't necessarily good in and of itself, but it's that the progress can lead to us forgetting certain things if we're not mindful, right? So Cars holds these two things in tension, that progress is good, yet at the same time, it's really important to remember the past. And of course, Radiator Springs in this movie really is a snapshot, a picture of what the past was. It's important to remember the past, but also it's important to learn from the past and people who lived in the past, mm-hmm. right? And I think where this movie is really interesting to me is that it tries to show that the truly tragic thing about forgetting the past, like Radiator Springs, isn't just that you're forgetting this picture-perfect memory you might have created, right? That might be secondary or tertiary, but it's that you forget people who lived the past. Right, mm-hmm. You forget the actual people, because all the people in Radiator Springs are forgotten. They're left behind. And that's the truly tragic thing, is that there was this flourishing society that got forgotten about for the sake of speed and efficiency, which is something we're going to talk about more in a minute. But you also had some really good thoughts, Shannon, about how this movie also presents kind of a prodigal, or has some similarities to the narrative of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son that Christ tells in the Gospels.
Right.
Explain that.
In a way, when I mentioned this to Blaine, it was kind of a joke, because it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's interesting to note that, you know, when we read about the story, when we read the summary of the story, or when we think the story, we always focus on the main character. We think, oh, Lightning McQueen was a jerk face. Like, he was mean, he was selfish, he was not caring about himself, and he is the only one that grew. And in a way, yes, he was a jerk face, and he was a meanie, and he didn't have any friends. And that's all true. But he's not the only one that grew. If you look at the character of Doc Hudson, who was also a race car, who was burned in the past, I guess, by other race cars, he has harbored this resentment and anger and unforgiveness towards the entire race car species, if you will, that he has to learn to get over. And it kind of reminded me of the Prodigal Son, because you have Lightning McQueen, who's just there, like, blowing all his money. He thinks everything's about him.
Who's like the younger brother.
He's like the younger brother. And then, you know, he comes to this town, and the other people are trying to kind of take him in and, like, show him what is right and how to do life the right way. And Doc Hudson comes in, and he's like, I don't want anything to do with him. Get him out of my town. Why is he here? Like, we should not be accepting this person. We shouldn't have anything to do with him. And he's kind of the Pharisee in that, or the Pharisaical older brother in that scenario, because they're both dealing with learning new things. Lightning and Hudson are both dealing with learning new things, but they're completely different things. Like, Lightning has to learn to not think about himself, and Hudson has to learn to accept, you know, others who have maybe been bad to him, or who may be of the type who have been bad to him before.
Yeah. So again, this is a way that this movie pushes against that idea that nostalgia fuel narratives try to go to, that says the past is perfect, or the people or the things of the past are perfect, because a lot of the people in Radiator Springs are flawed, right? They judge Lightning McQueen. I mean, Sally has the same problem. She doesn't want to have much to do with Lightning McQueen, yeah, other than having him fix the road when he first comes in. But yeah, I mean, Doc Hudson's certainly a flawed character, just like Lightning McQueen. And I think that's a really good insight. And it does bear some similarities to the Prodigal Son narrative, because we normally want to, I think, point out the fault of someone who's being much more, I don't know, odious in their sins.
Well, someone who's, we tend to want, as Christians, I think especially, we tend to want to point out sins that are, you know, considered by the rest of the world as sins, whereas unforgiveness is generally kind of overlooked. Like, we look at lots of movies and we see, like, oh, well, you know, it's okay that, you know, Indiana Jones did this or whatever. Like, our favorite characters and action movies and things. Like, it's okay that they, you know, hurt this person or something, because it was revenge, because that other person did this to them. And that's something that, in general, I feel like we're prone to kind of overlook. Like, we're prone to overlook not forgiving people for their sins against us. But if something like selfishness or, you know, murder, like really bad sins, are seen by the rest of the world, then we want to go along with that, but not take care of our own judgment and our own resentment in our hearts, and not think about how that is something that we have to deal with also.
Yeah. And Jerry Bridges has a really good book about this. He's an author. And he wrote a book. He's written many books, but he wrote one book called Respectable Sins, that deals with the kinds of sins in our lives that are deemed quote unquote respectable, because we don't think about them as bad as the other things. So yeah, both of these characters have to learn from one another. So this isn't a movie where the young gun finds the old timer who just fixes everything, and the old timer just sort of imparts his wisdom. The old timer actually has to do a little bit of learning too. So I think it is unique among that, as far as a movie that is fueled by so much nostalgia. I think it does it in a pretty helpful and healthy way. And if you even think about the narrative of Scripture, Scripture is continually pointing us and believers of ages past back to the past, right? I mean, one of the continual narratives in the Old Testament is the Israelites as they were wandering through the wilderness, or as they, you know, even as they, you know, go and move into the land or something, they would encounter these people groups, and they would say, wait, isn't your God the one who did this and who did that and who did this? In the Psalms, continually, you have prayers that that point the singers back to God's faithfulness in the past, recounting his deeds, right? You brought us out of Egypt, right?
Right.
And again, continually in the New Testament, you have Paul opening almost every single letter that he wrote with a, you know, thanks to God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, right? We're constantly a people as Christians who are supposed to remember our past, look back on our past, but we're still living lives in the present and living, you know, doing the best to live faithfully as citizens of God's kingdom here and now. And I think this movie does a good job seeking out a good balance. It's certainly going to be interesting to see how the third film seems to, address even more relevant contemporary issues like VR. Just from the trailer, it seems like it's dealing a lot with VR.
Oh, really? I missed that. We're really excited because we're going to see a sneak peek of it tonight.
So yeah, by the time this is out, we'll have seen it, and we're super excited. But both of these characters have to learn from one another, and certainly the past is the place where Lightning McQueen finds some of the help that he needs. One of the things that Lightning McQueen learns from Doc Hudson and the residents of Radiator Springs is the value of what I would call the slow life, right? It's pretty obvious. It's not intended to, it's not intended to be subtle that this movie is about a race car who needs to learn to slow down. Right. But I think there are some pretty valuable insights to be gleaned from this film. A lot of this comes to the forefront when Sally and Lightning go off and have their racing sort of drive.
The romantic drive
together. Right. But even the first words of the film are, "I am speed."
Ooh, right? I hadn't thought of that.
And it also comes back at the end, right? Lightning McQueen is all about speed. And Radiator Springs is sort of this place where life moves a little slower, right? You looked like you were going to jump in. Yeah, life moves a little slower in Radiator Springs. Sally talks about how she moved to Radiator Springs specifically because she was tired of her hurried life elsewhere, right? She says, "I was living life in the fast lane in L.A., and then I decided to move here," which Lightning thinks is just kind of crazy, crazy. Kind of out there. But you also see that Lightning starts to be transformed by what he sees there and by the people he meets there. Because he responds to Sally, says, "Look, all these people, as they're looking out on the interstate that cuts past Radiator Springs, they're driving right by and they don't even know what they're missing." How else, Shannon, does this movie kind of address issues of speed and slowing down? Where else do we see that?
I think you've mostly got it, but I mean, it's pretty see-through analogies here of cars that are, you know, learning to drive slower, and like Doc Hudson, you know, the same thing with him. He was a race car, and the people that were living life in the fast lane, like, they burned him because they couldn't be patient enough to wait for him to recover from his crash. And so he moved somewhere where people were moving slow enough to actually take the time to care about others. And he says, you know, "These are good folk here," or "good people here," or whatever. And he just enjoyed living with people who instead of, like, living to get things done, like, they live to be with other people, and they have things that they care about other than efficiency, which is something that, you know, is just important for us to remember, because I think a lot of times we have so much surrounding us. We have so many distractions. We have our phones and our computers and everything, and we're not used to being bored. We're not used to living slowly. Like, it's okay to take a few minutes to relax. It's okay to take time to spend with your family and to not be doing work all the time. Like, it can mess with you if you're not willing to rest, because Jesus wants us to rest. Like, he says, come rest in me. Like, the weak and the weary, come rest in me. Like, it's okay to rest.
Yeah, I mean, and I think where this movie does hit on contemporary issues is we're in a society that does continually value speed more and more. I'm not really much of a person for New Year's resolutions, just because. But if I did make a resolution this year, which I guess I sort of did, it was that I wanted to be more aware of and deliberate about how about slowing down, basically, but not having to be connected to things all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think just being aware of habits sometimes. It's like, if you get bored for a second, you know, you start reaching for your phone, or you go to the computer, or you know, look up a video on YouTube or something like that. We have to be going. We have to be, speed has to be.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's something that I've had to catch myself doing. Like, if we're at a restaurant and Blaine's like, I'm going to run to the restroom and wash my hands. And I'm like, okay, I'll be by myself for 30 seconds. I better check Facebook. And I'm like, no, I can sit and people watch for a minute. It's okay. Like, you just like try to slow down and like focus on people every once in a while instead of just doing things to do things.
Yeah. And I think to extrapolate from the movie, if the movie's getting in all of these things, right, it's all about, you know, slowing down. It's this idea that our relentless and Lightning's relentless pursuit of speed results in him forgetting, you know, to learn from the past, and forgetting the valuable lessons that the past has to teach us, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also is a person who has no friends because he's so obsessed with, you know, getting his goal.
Yeah.
Right?
He doesn't have time for friends.
I mean, like, think about the semi-truck that he rides in.
Mac.
When he rides in Mac. Mm-hmm. The back of it is just, like, this big technological hub. Like, there are screens everywhere.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he can see the countryside passing by if he wants, but really, there's just, like, he's got stuff stacked up there.
He's got mini-me's.
Yeah.
Little tiny, tiny cars.
Yeah, and he's got screens surrounding him everywhere else. So he's sort of immersed in this, and he just doesn't see what's around him. And I can certainly relate to that. Again, that's one of the reasons I've tried and am trying this year to be more deliberate about that, to live a better lifestyle, mm-hmm. basically.
One thing, okay, this is maybe a little bit off track, but it interested me because I noticed it. is that, I don't know, someone made fun of him at the beginning of the movie. I think it was Chick Hicks made fun of him for not having headlights. And he was like, well, race cars don't need headlights because the track is always lit. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, you see that the overhead bird's eye view of cars driving on the interstate and the spaghetti bowl, and they're all trying to get somewhere. And everyone there has a headlight, which indicates to me that he's never even driven anywhere other than a racetrack. Like, he's never driven outside to go to, like, his home or to go to the store or wherever. Like, everything is brought to him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even have to be out on the roads. He doesn't even have headlights for the roads.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was maybe a little bit off topic, but it's interesting to me that, like, he had not even slowed down enough to even know what the outside world looked like.
No, that's...
And he just wasn't even interested in it.
That's good. Yeah, so this movie also has a lot to do with building friendships and, right, learning to, or letting yourself trust people,
mm-hmm.
in one way or another, which is, again, part of, I feel like, slowing down. Especially as someone who's introverted, I can relate to that. It's like, you know, do I really need friends when I could just, you know, even read a good book, for crying out loud, right?
Harry Potter can be my friend, right?
Right. So yeah, I think this movie does speak to contemporary issues in really, really insightful ways. And frankly, I think maybe it's just my personality bent. Like, I relate a lot to the things that this movie is trying to get at in all of its varied ways.
Yeah. I mean, it speaks to me a little bit on the, level of like not letting your work take over your life, because I have been I don't know that I want to say career driven, but like when I was in school, I was very academically driven. Like everything was about my grades, and I had to get A's, and if I didn't get A's, then people would be disappointed in me, and then life would die pretty much. And so like I shut myself in my house, and I would just work on my grades and work on studying and stuff, and not really spend the time focusing on people, and like maybe, you know, take a break every once in a while to go to coffee and stuff. And like, that was something that was just too hard for me to fathom. And I mean, I'm not saying don't study, like study, kids, school is good, your education is important, but it shouldn't become your life. Like you shouldn't have one goal so focused that you shut everything else out, that you can't even see what's around you. Like have headlights for the rest of the world. There's my cheesy inspirational quote for the day.
I'm glad you covered it instead of me for this month. No, that's good. Anything else you wanted to mention about cars?
It's really pretty. I like it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
It is. I really think this one doesn't get enough credit. I think it's one of the most beautifully animated Pixar films.
Ooh.
There's so much texture everywhere, right? Seeing the flakes of rubber come off the tires like they do in mm-hmm. a NASCAR race. It's fantastic.
I have something. You reminded me of something. Or we both reminded me of something. We noticed last night, if you're watching the movie and you're in Radiator Springs, take a minute to like pause every once in a while when they show the rock formations, because they're all shaped like cars. It's really fascinating. It's really fun. Like the part where everything's sticking up, it's like that park it's not a park, it's just on the side of the road in Amarillo, where like all the Cadillacs are just like stuck, headlights down in the dirt and people spray paint on them. Like that's what the rock formation is shaped like. And then the Wheel Well Motel, if you actually look at the rock behind it, the whole rock is shaped like a car. And like, it's really interesting, intricate details that make it even just one step better.
Yeah, the production design on this is really fantastic. And you can definitely tell that a lot of the details in this film came from this group of animators' love for the things they found
mm-hmm.
on their trip. It's certainly a lot of fun. And it's even more fun if you've driven down that stretch of road, because it looks very, very familiar.
You've spent the very lengthy drive that it requires to get there from Oklahoma, then yes, it's you have you just feel this deep-seated connection with the movie.
Yeah, and I love how they spend so much time. The animation on the cars is just gorgeous to look at. I mean, these sleek, shiny surfaces that reflect things,
mm-hmm.
that's hard to do. That takes a lot of work, and it's just gorgeous to look at. I think Cars is a beautiful film.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And then, of course, Randy Newman. I mean, we didn't even talk about Randy Newman's score.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a lovely. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of, it's got this old West Americana feel.
Long ago, not so very long ago.
But
that's
yeah.
All the song words I know from that song.
Randy Newman really likes to do sad songs.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
But no, I do love the music from this film as well. But to avoid just going on endlessly about our enjoyment of this movie, we will wrap up for this month's episode of Real World Rewind. Shannon, why don't you take us on home?
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We want to hear what you think about Cars. Seriously, tell us. The easiest way to do that is by joining the Real World Theology Discussion Group on Facebook. Also, if you've enjoyed the show, please take a second to subscribe to it on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. That helps other people find us and our wonderful commentaries. That wraps us up things for us here. So until next month, thanks for rewinding with us.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. Ka-chow. Ka-chow. Ka-chika. Ka-chika. Ka-chika.
This podcast has been a Real World Theology production. For more information, check out realworldtheology.com. and thanks for listening.
Now this is podcasting. Woo!